good to be home. Oh, praise the Lord. Notice I said good to be home. I tell you what, I love the UK. I love World Harvest Bible Church. And I tell you what, I'm here. I'm at home. It's good to see all of you. Paige sends her love. She is back home. I was coming over just for a short trip. So she stayed home this time. And we are scheduled to be home. During February and March, we're going to be ministering at churches and doing some things. But we will be back, so I just want to give you a good report. She's doing well, but she does send your love. She texts me at about 1 a.m. her time saying she's praying for us today and sends her love. So I just wanted you to say hello and let you know that she cares about you. She misses you just like as I do. But it's good to be here. You know, this month is going to be a great month here at World Harvest. Amen?
That's right.
The Spirit of God has given Pastor Allen vision and direction for this month. And so we're going to get to kick that off. And what an honor it is to be here with you today and to share the word of the Lord. And the first scripture and where we want to start is over in the book of 1 Peter. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over there, but it's going to also be on the screens. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. This is the New King James Version. And this is basically what it says: who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Yes.
Oh, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for by Jesus' stripes we were healed. We thank you so much for this service this morning. And Father God, as we turn to your word and as we turn to you, we thank you this morning that you fill my mouth with words. We thank you for the anointing that ministers this morning.
Yes.
And Father, we ask for divine impartation. We ask for divine revelation knowledge to be deposited into each one of us so that we see the truth and we experience your truth. We experience your highest plan that you have for each and every one of us. And so we thank you for it in advance, and we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
yes, amen.
I love what it says: who himself bore our sins in his own body in the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. I'm here to tell you, Jesus came, and through his death, burial, and his resurrection, not only did he forgive your sins, but he healed your body.
Yeah.
Oh, we should be getting an amen. You should jump up and down and run around the sanctuary, because I'm here to tell you that at the same time Jesus forgave your sins, he made a way to where you could have your body healed and delivered from sickness and disease.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm here to tell you, it's as much God's will to forgive your sins as it is to heal your body.
Come on.
Oh, did you catch that?
Yes.
That is just as much God's will to heal your body as it is to forgive your sins.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, Jesus made that known. When he was ministering, there was a time when he was ministering and the power of God was present to heal. And a guy came in with four friends. They had to rip off the roof, lower the guy down. And Jesus saw their faith. He said, my son, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Mm. Yeah.
And then everybody got offended that Jesus would forgive sins.
Yeah.
But he said that you know that the Son of God has the power to forgive, but also to heal. Rise and be healed. And the man stood up and was healed instantly.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, at the same time Jesus purchased freedom from sin, he purchased freedom from sickness and disease. And everybody said, amen, glory to God.
Amen, that's right.
You know, we think of salvation being, I'm saved and I'm forgiven, but I'm here to tell you, it's just as much the truth and the reality that by his stripes you were healed.
That's it.
Now, I may not be really good at the King's English, and I might not be really good at English. That was not my best subject in school. But I do know were is past tense.
Yes.
I know that what he did on the cross, his death, burial, and his resurrection purchased forgiveness of my sins and healing in my body.
Yeah.
That's the double cure. He cured what ailed my spirit, and he cured what ailed my body at the same time.
Come on.
I'm here to tell you, that's a revelation that we need to have as believers. We need to have as individuals in a church. At the same time, he forgave me, he healed me, and walk in the reality of it. Walk in the freedom of it.
Right.
You know, when Jesus was here on the earth, it was very evident that it was his will to heal. I love what it says over here in Acts 10. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Notice it didn't say he went about doing bad. He went about doing
good.
Oh, everybody say?
Good.
That's right. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God's got a plan for you, healing. The devil's got a plan. It's called sickness. But I'm here to tell you, every time the anointing of God comes in contact with sickness and disease, the anointing and power of God always wins.
Yeah.
Always wins. Oh, don't you like that? Isn't that great revelation? Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Sickness and disease is of the devil. Sickness and disease is oppression. It's a yoke, and it's a burden. But thank God for Isaiah 10:27. Thank God for what it says. Thank God for the truth that it reveals to us. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. It said it'd be destroyed, obliterated, and removed completely because of the anointing or the power of God. Jesus was anointed. And when Jesus ministered to the sick, that power destroyed and obliterated and removed sickness from their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is my question, or this is my thought. Then how did Jesus minister healing to the sick? Or what are the examples from the Word of God where we kind of see him ministering to the sick?
Uh-huh.
And really, there's two main examples that we see from the Word of God in the New Testament of how Jesus ministered. Number one, Jesus initiated healing.
Yeah.
There were times when Jesus would walk up to someone and he initiated the healing. He started the process. Probably the best example is in John chapter 5. There was a man at the pool of Bethesda, and he was a cripple. And during certain times, an angel would come down and stir the water. Healing would be in the water. The first person to get in would get healed.
Yeah.
And Jesus walked into that area, and I would assume it was an area probably this large or even bigger, sick people all around, and he was led by the Holy Ghost to walk up and minister to one man.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody say one man.
One man.
Sick people everywhere, but the Holy Ghost sent him to one individual. And he looked at the man and said, "Will you be healed?" He said, "Look, dude, I don't have anybody to help me get in the water. Everybody jumps in before I do." And he basically said, "No, I just have no hope."
Yeah.
But Jesus led by the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Jesus led by the Spirit of God. Jesus operating in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus grabbed him and said, "Arise, my brother, and be healed." And he picked him up, and that man who'd been crippled all of his life started dancing around. He was healed. When Jesus initiated healing, it was always because he was led of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit were in manifestation to heal the individual. But you know, that's not the only way he ministered healing. Matter of fact, that's not even the number one way that he ministered healing. The primary way that Jesus ministered healing in the second example is when individuals would initiate their healing. That means individuals came up to Jesus and said, "I want to be healed."
Yeah.
They came to him. And I thank God today we can come to Jesus and we can initiate our healing. We can come to receive what we need.
Yeah, come on.
I think the greatest example of that is over in the book. Well, there's three places you find it. You find it in Matthew chapter 9, Mark chapter 5, and also in Luke chapter 8. It's called The Woman with the Issue of Blood. Have you ever heard the story about the woman with the issue of blood? If you have, wave at me. Let me know I'm in the right place this morning. So let's take a look at that example of with the woman's issue of blood. Instead of reading the story, I'm going to tell it to you, and then we'll read some of the scriptures as we kind of highlight it. But there was this woman, and she heard about Jesus. She had a friend or somebody who came and said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. He's the healer, and he's going around laying hands on people, and when you touch him, you get healed. Mm. So the lady heard that, and she began to take that word, and she began to say, if I can touch but the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She'd been sick for years. She had had an issue of blood, and she began to say, if I may touch but his garment, I will be healed.
Yeah.
Faith is having confidence and trust in God's word.
Come on. Yes.
And when you say that, you build your faith. And when you say it, you release your faith.
Yeah.
When you begin to say what God's word says, you build faith, but you also release faith.
Mm-hmm.
And she began to do that. And then all of a sudden, her faith or her confidence and trust in the word got to be so great, she had to go see Jesus. She heard Jesus was in town. And she got to the place where Jesus was. Now, everybody look up here and get the scene. There's a massive crowd. A man by the name of Jairus has asked Jesus to come to his house to heal his daughter. And they're going to Jairus' house. And there are people all over him, touching him, moving around him, talking to him as he goes to Jairus' house. And this woman sees the crowd. She gets on her hands and knees. And she literally crawls up to Jesus from behind. And she had been saying, if I just touch but the hem. Everybody say the hem.
Hem.
Where's the hem of a garment? It's on the bottom. Thank you so much. And she reached out and touched that garment. She reached out, and the minute she did, the healing power of God flowed, and she was healed.
Yes.
Jesus turned around to Peter and said, Peter, who touched me? Peter said, what do you mean, Jesus, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. Can you imagine Peter? That's probably his attitude. And Jesus said, no, somebody touched me because I perceived that healing power went out of me.
Yeah.
And then finally, the woman saw the commotion. She knew she had been had. She'd been made. She stood up and said, it was me. It was me. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith.
Yes.
Your faith
yes.
has made you whole.
Yes.
Go and be healed, be set free, and enjoy your freedom. Now, in Luke, the 8th chapter and the 46th verse, in the Amplified Version, I love what it says. Let's go to the 46th verse. In the 46th verse, it said, but Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I perceive that healing power has gone from me. Everybody say healing power.
Healing power.
And then in verse 48, Jesus said to her, and he said to her, daughter, your faith, and I love this, your confidence and trust in me has made you well. Go enter into peace, untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Oh, praise God. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. So when I look at this story and I look at these two scriptures, we find out that there are two ingredients that are necessary to receive healing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody say two ingredients.
Ingredients.
Two ingredients only. Everybody say two ingredients only.
Two ingredients only.
You know, I like to cook a little bit. I know there's a lot of great cooks in here. And when you bake a cake, you got to have the right ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you know when you make a chocolate cake, you need what?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Thank you so much. Everybody say chocolate.
Chocolate.
Yeah, you got to have some chocolate. If there's no chocolate, it's not a chocolate cake.
Yeah.
I mean, Paige makes a chocolate cake that is to live for. Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. Chocolate icing, chocolate in the cake. Every now and then, she'll throw some caramel in there and pecans and walnuts. Oh, I love walnuts. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe they're of heaven. Amen. But I tell you what, if you leave out one of the important ingredients, it doesn't turn out right, does it? You know, we were home over Christmas. Our daughter was home from the university. And she said, Dad, I feel like brownies. I said, hey, brownie sounds good to me. So she went and got a brownie mix out of the cupboard. And she looks and said, Dad, we don't have all the ingredients. She said, this oil we don't have. We've got a different type of oil. I said, ah, let's just substitute it. Everybody say, bad idea. Yeah. We substituted something, and when we took the brownies out, they looked okay. They smell okay. But how many of you know they did not taste okay? Uh-huh. We had the wrong ingredient. You could tell, and we went, and we both looked at each other, and we go to the bin and start spitting it out. Yeah, wasn't any good. See, you got to have the right ingredients to produce what you need. But I love this. There's only two ingredients, not five, not 17, not 21. I mean, I have baked before when I had so many things lined up that I had to put in that recipe. But Jesus said two things. And those two things are, number one, the healing power of God. That's the number one ingredient. And the number two ingredient is the faith of the individual. When we see this story and how this lady initiated her healing and she received healing from Jesus, number one, the healing power of God was present. And number two, she had faith. And when that faith and the healing power were mixed together,
yes,
and stirred together, it produced healing in her body.
Come on, come on.
Oh, isn't that good to know?
That's good.
See, healing power and faith together equals healing in your body. And that's exactly what happened. She came with faith. There was healing power present. She reached out, they connected, and boom, she was healed. You know, I like another scripture over there. I believe it's in Luke chapter 6. I believe we have it up on the screen, verse, I guess it's 19. And all the multitude were seeking to touch him. There was a time when Jesus came, and it said they came to hear and to be healed of him. It said they came to seek him, but let me tell you why they came to seek him. And all the multitude were seeking to touch him, for healing power was all the while going forth from him and curing them all, saving them from severe illness or calamities. Everybody say severe illness. I don't care how ill you are, healing power will rescue and deliver you and save you from sickness. But notice what they came for. All the multitude were seeking to touch him for healing power. Everybody say healing power. The third main point I want you to remember this morning is this. It is healing power that heals the sick.
Yeah.
It's the healing power. Notice it was the healing power that cured them.
Yeah.
Did y'all catch that?
Yeah.
Notice it didn't say, and all the multitude were seeking to touch him, for manifestations was all the while going forth from him. That's not what it said. You know, today in the church world, we're looking for manifestations, but back then they came looking for healing power. Oh, come on, can I get an amen?
Yeah.
That's a big difference. See, they realized that it was not a manifestation they sought. It was the healing power of God. See, if you come up to receive healing and you're expecting a manifestation and it doesn't happen the way you thought, you can miss out on the very power that was deposited into your body.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Did you catch that? See, people today in churches have been taught, look for a manifestation, and I'm here to tell you, no, it's receive the healing power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Come receive the healing virtue or the healing power of God. Because it's healing power that heals you. It's healing power that destroys the yoke of sickness and disease. Remember that scripture? The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing is the manifested presence of God that destroys yokes and it removes burdens.
Yes.
And it's the healing power of God, when it's deposited into your body, will always heal you.
Come on.
Did y'all catch that?
Yes.
Oh, that is such an important realization.
Yeah.
And so if we know it's the healing power of God that heals you, then how do you get the healing power of God into you?
Mm.
Can I get an amen on that one? That's a nugget, isn't it? Yeah. If it's the healing power of God that heals me, well, how do I get the healing power in me?
Yes.
You know, medicine is a great thing, and you can take medicine, and it will take care of symptoms of sickness and disease. Anybody ever taken any medicine in here besides me? Yeah, let's all wave at each other, yeah. You know, and I'm not a doctor, but it seems like there's four ways to get medicine into your body. Number one, you can take it topically, or you can rub it all over yourself. You can rub an ointment or whatever, and it'll go down through the skin, and it'll begin to bring relief. That's one way. Another way is orally. You take a pill, take a paracetamol or something, and you pop it in your mouth, and about 45 minutes later, guess what? You're starting to feel a little bit better. Another way you can take medicine is IV. Anybody ever had an IV where they go into a vein? Ouch.
Yeah.
And they put it in there, put that medicine in there, and it goes to work pretty quick. Then there's another one, and we call it IM, or intramuscular, where they give you a shot, and usually it's in your backside. Hello. Amen. Another ouch. But that's how they deliver medicine to get in your body. Well, I'm here to tell you, God has a delivery system to get the medicine into you.
Yes.
And it doesn't hurt, and everybody said, amen.
Yes.
Yeah, no side effects, no ill things that go on.
Yeah.
But God's got a way to get the medicine into you. You know, there's several ways. You know, there's only one way to receive salvation. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. But he gave several ways to get healing power into your body.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, one way is through cloths or handkerchiefs. Has anybody got a clean handkerchief? Anybody got a clean cloth? The Lord told me, amen. I'm going to carry this cloth with me, and the healing power of God is going to go into this cloth, according to Acts 19, 11, and 12, and I'm going to give it to you guys to take to him. And this healing power is going to flow, and it's going to go to work. But that's one way to get the healing anointing into someone's body, is when you lay your hands and you carry it. It said Paul, they took handkerchiefs and cloths from his body, and the healing anointing would go into that cloth, and they would stick it on the people, and the sickness and disease would depart because the healing anointing would go in. So that's one way. Another way is through the anointing of oil and the prayer of faith. That's over there in James chapter 5, 14. It said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. If you've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Yep.
So when the anointing of oil and the elders and the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus, then what happens is that healing anointing goes on and they go on to be healed. So that's one way. Another way is the name of Jesus. Remember over there in the book of Acts chapter 3? Peter and John at the gate called Beautiful, they said, in the name of Jesus, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus, be healed. And they pulled that guy up who was crippled, and he started walking and dancing and rejoicing.
Yeah.
So that's another way. But it seems like the primary way, or at least the way Jesus ministered to people most of the time, 80% of the time, was through the ministry of laying on of hands. Over there in the book of Luke, the 4th chapter and the 40th verse, we read it and it says this. In Luke 4:40, at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. And another translation says he healed them all.
Yeah.
He laid his hands on them.
Yeah.
It seems like the primary way that people could hook up in faith or believe was through the laying on of hands, because it was tangible.
Yeah.
And then at that touch, when Jesus would lay his hands, then the healing power would flow into their bodies, and it would start going to work to heal them and to recover them from that disease.
Mm-hmm.
Over in Mark 16, he talks to us in the church, 15 through 18, and he said, these signs shall follow that believe.
Yep.
These signs shall follow that believe.
Yeah.
They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Yes.
See, it's through the laying on of hands that we administer the healing power into the sick or the infirmed.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to get healing power into you today, the primary way I'm going to do that and do this at the end of the service is I will lay hands on you. And at that time, when you mix faith with that, then what happens is the healing power will go into your body and begin to recover you from sickness and disease.
That's good. That's good.
So we know it's healing power, but we also know it's faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is having confidence and trust in God and His Word.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come to receive your healing, when you come to be prayed for, mm-hmm. what do you need to believe?
Yeah.
Where's your faith? Or what is the switch of faith? You know, if you turn a switch on in here, the lights come on. How many of you are thankful for lights? How many of you are thankful that we're not doing this in darkness?
Yeah.
How many of you know that electricity is flowing in this building and a switch was flipped on and the power flowed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm here to tell you, when you come in faith and switch the faith, the switch of faith on, the power flows.
Yeah.
So the switch of faith is really two things. Number one, it's believing that when hands are laid on you, the healing power of God flows into your body. You've got to be walking down this aisle saying, when hands are laid on me this morning, the healing power is going to flow. It's going to flow into my body.
Yeah.
That's faith. That's the switch of faith. Then also, you're believing, number two, that the healing power of God is working mightily in your body to recover your body from sickness and disease and any condition you're in. So when I say come forward this morning to receive, or anytime anybody prays for you or you pray for them, you need to make sure that the person coming believes that healing power is going to flow in their body when hands are laid on them. You need to make sure that they believe when it goes in, it goes to work.
Yeah.
See, I think that is something that most people don't even realize. They're coming down to be healed, but they're really not sure what they believe or what they're believing for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the woman with issue of blood, she knew what she believed. She believed if she'd touch him, that healing power would go into her. She believed point number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she believed when she touched him, that healing power would go to work and recover her. And she believed point number two.
Come on. Yes, yes.
She had the switch of faith turned on.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, a lot of times people kind of get tripped up by that and don't understand, but this morning and during this month, we want you to be clear.
Yeah.
We want you to have faith. We want you to have confidence and trust in the healing power of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years ago, I was in my 20s, and I had a terrible sinus infection. It's before I knew about healing, knew how to appropriate healing for myself, to pray the prayer of faith for myself. I didn't know how to do that. And so I went to a doctor. And when I went to the doctor, he took an x-ray of my sinuses and said, buddy, you're hurting. I said, you don't have to take a picture for me to know that. I'm telling you, I'm hurting. He said, you're a fool. They're inflamed. And I mean, you could just touch my skin and I'd scream. I'm not being evangelistic. That's the way it was. And he said, I've got something for you. I'm going to give you a shot. I said, come on, doc, give me a shot. He said, I got some medicine, it'll work. And he said, by the time you go to bed tonight, you'll feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I said, come on.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends a nurse in with a needle. Seemed like it was this long. And she comes in and she wants to stick it in my backside. So I let her and she pushes the plunger. And when she pushes that plunger, that medicine goes through that needle into my big muscle, gluteus maximus, and goes to work. Well, I leave that office, and about 2 hours later at lunch, one of my coworkers said, you feeling better? I said, no, I don't feel better at all. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure that guy knew what he was talking. Maybe he got his medical degree from ASDA. I don't know. I probably said Walmart back then. About 3 o'clock, another guy comes and says, how you feeling, Marcus? I don't know. I don't know if I'm any better or not. Well, you know, we got to about 4 o'clock. That medicine's been in there now for about 6 hours. And if you'd asked me if he was a terrible doctor, I'm probably backing off on that claim now. Mm. About 6 hours later, he's not as dumb as I think he is. Maybe that medicine is working a little bit. Well, at 6 o'clock, I'm eating dinner, and I can breathe, and I'm almost positive now he actually has a medical degree. I'm most positive now that he maybe sort of thought what he was talking about. 10 o'clock, I'm going to bed. He's a genius.
Yes.
He's the best doctor in the world. Anybody with sinus infections, go to that doctor. He's got the right shot. He's got the right medicine. It took 12 hours, and then over the course of the next few days, as the medicine went to work, man, I felt 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I was delivered from that infirmity.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens today in the church. People come down, but they want instantaneous healing.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They want to go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and get their food now.
Mm-hmm.
Any drive-thru McDonald's fans besides me? Matter of fact, I went through the drive-thru one night, met a church member from the church, handed me my food. Yeah, we live in a drive-through microwave society.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Paige and I rented our flat, we walked in, there's no microwave. Ain't no way I'm renting a flat without a microwave. Because
yeah.
I want it now. I want to take my bag of rice, open up the microwave, stick it in there, shut it, push one, and puff, presto, whammo, boom, rice is. But folks, I'm here to tell you, God's not a microwave God. What he said is, I'm going to put the power of God in you, and it's going to go to work. You mix faith, and it's going to heal you. It's going to deliver you, and you're going to be healed.
Good.
So not only must we come down in faith with the switch of faith turned on, we must leave in faith with the switch of faith turned on. Oh, did you catch that?
Uh-huh.
I've seen too many people come sort of thinking their switch is on.
Mm-hmm.
But if it didn't happen the way they thought it ought to happen, they left and the switch was off. They ripped it and threw it behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And they wondered why they didn't see the fullness of their healing. You come down in faith, oh, but you must leave in faith. So I've got it up here on the screen, what to believe after you've been prayed for. Believe that the healing power of God has been administered to your body. Number two, believe that the healing power is working mightily in your body to recover your body from the sickened condition. See, when you leave with the switch of faith turned on, then worry and fear leaves.
Yeah.
You know, after one of our trips, we came back home, Paige and I did, and we had a beautiful peace lily plant. It was gorgeous. It was really tall, about this tall. When we came back from the trip, nobody had watered it. And when we came back from the trip, I'm here to tell you, that beautiful peace lily that was green and gorgeous was laying flat and everything was on the floor. It looked dead. I kind of felt a little bit and thought, well, there's still a little bit of life in there. So what did I do? I took a great big old pitcher of water.
Mm-hmm.
And I filled that puppy up. And I took that pitcher and I poured it over that plant. I went and filled up the pitcher again. And I poured it again over that plant. And I poured it full of water till the water started spilling out on the ground. And I wiped up all the water so Paige wouldn't get mad at me on the floor. But you know what? At that moment, I stopped worrying about the plant.
Yes. Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
I didn't stand there and go, oh, plant, are you going to be okay? No, I knew that water was what the plant needed.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that eventually the water would recover the plant.
Yes.
Went to bed about 3 hours later, and the plant still was in its stricken, sickened condition. It was still touching the ground. It looked like it was over. But I didn't lay in the bed and say, oh, Lord, I hope you, the plant, will recover. Oh, Father, please let this plant. I believe. I didn't do that. You know what I did? I went to bed and I snored. I went to bed and was free of care and worry and fear. I went to bed knowing that somehow the plant would live.
Yes.
I got up the next morning. It's still to this day, it's one of the coolest things. I walked into the kitchen, looked at the plant, and it said, good morning, I'm doing great. It looked awesome. It was standing up. It was green. It was perky. You never thought that anything was wrong.
Yeah.
See, folks, when the healing power of God goes in you, you can with certainty know that you are going to recover. So let me give you three things you can do as you leave that place of faith and leave in faith. Let me give you three things to remember to do when you've been prayed for. And those three things are right up there on the screen. Number one, you need to think. Number two, you need to talk. And number three, you need to thank God that you are healed. See, healing power can go in your body, but you must do something with it after it goes on and keep it active in your body. I'm not praying to get healed. I'm not making confessions to try to get God to do something. No, the healing power is already working. What I'm doing now is keeping it active and keeping it working in my body by thinking, talking, and thanking. The three T's to keep the switch of faith turned on. Amen. Yeah. And so I'm thinking, surely Jesus has borne my sickness and disease and carried away my pain. I'm thinking, by his stripes, I am healed. I'm thinking that hands were laid on me and the healing power went in me. I'm thinking that the healing power is in me and it's a working in there to heal my body.
Yes.
And then as I'm thinking about it, well, the next thing you do after you think about something, you start talking about it. Oh, Pastor Allen, let me tell you, Jesus is the healer. I had hands laid on me. The healing power went in me. Glory to God. And it's working in me. Hallelujah. And then the next thing you start doing, you start thanking him. You start praising him. You start giving him glory. I think the greatest example is over here in the book of Luke, the 17th chapter. I'm going to put those scriptures up. Then one of them, this is a story about 12 lepers, and they were far away from Jesus. Said, Jesus, we need healing. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went on their way, they were healed. And all of a sudden, this one guy noticed that he was getting better. He noticed that healing is coming into his body. It's not complete, but he can tell that something has happened. So it says that he went back to Jesus. Now notice this, recognizing and thanking and praising God with a loud voice. And he fell prostrate at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over. Everybody say over and over.
Over and over.
Everybody say over and over.
Over and over.
So here's the scene. They went towards the priest's house. He gets towards there and goes, oh my goodness, I'm getting better. Jesus' healing power is working in me. He runs and finds Jesus. Because it said he was a far way off. And then he started walking even farther.
Mm-hmm.
So the dude had to run and find Jesus. And when he finds Jesus, he doesn't just say, hey, dude, that was great. Thank you so much. No, he got there and he fell down at Jesus' feet, weeping and crying and going, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
He was keeping the switch of faith turned on.
Mm-hmm.
He believed that the healing power was spoken into his body. He believed that the healing power was working in his body. But now he goes and he starts thanking and rejoicing and giving him praise.
Yeah.
And then Jesus said something very, very important. And he fell prostrate at Jesus' feet. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where's everybody else?
Yeah.
Then the next part of the verse, Was there no one found to return and to recognize and give thanks and praise to God except this alien? And he said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith, your trust, and confidence that springs from your belief in God has restored you to health. Other translation says it has made you whole.
Yes.
Now, when I was in medical school, I studied a little bit about leprosy. Mm-hmm. And leprosy, not only does it deform, but then it starts killing nerve endings. And lepers are known to lose parts of their face, their ears, because they don't have any feeling. There's no senses there, and then they start losing things. I'm convinced the others were healed, but I'm convinced his keeping the switch of faith turned on and thanking him made him whole.
Yeah, yeah.
He shows up for dinner that night. His nose is back on. His ears are back on. All the knots on his hands are gone. They go, what happened to you, dude? We got healed, but we didn't get whole. You know why? Because he kept the switch of faith turned on.
Yeah.
Let's understand some things about how to minister healing and how to receive healing. You know, after I began to study and understand some things, I will not pray for anybody unless they have the switch of faith turned on, because it's really fruitless. And so as a minister, I make sure the switch of faith's turned on. I ask them, do you believe the healing power of God's going to flow in you? Do you believe it's going to go to work in your body and you're going to recover? If they say, yes, I believe, I like it when they say, just lay your hands on me, preacher, I'll be healed. That's faith. That's them understanding what's happening. And then I always tell them, when you leave, leave in faith. Keep the switch of faith turned on. I believe, according to Mark 16, when I lay hands on the sick, healing power flows into them. I believe it with all my heart. And that's why I lay hands on the sick, because I believe that. But I also believe that when we lay hands, the healing power goes in. And when they leave in faith, thanking and rejoicing and praising, then the power of God keeps working and it drives out sickness out of their body. As they think, as they talk, and as they think.